You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns. Get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Free agency kicking off in just over 26 hours. Very, very exciting. The draft, though, also looming. And I think you're going to see the Browns really kind of churn over this roster and add some new pieces here with the combination of free agents and, of course, working in the draft where they do have 10 draft picks. And we've talked quite a bit about Sammy Watkins, a guy who apparently wowed at his pro day. There are some interesting options for the Browns at the top of this draft, and also some other guys from Clemson we might talk about a little bit later in the draft as being possibilities for this Cleveland team. And in a moment, we'll be joined by the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Swinney.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing what that coach says. And I'd love that perspective when a coach can talk about his guys who are on the cusp now of entering the next level and having worked with two players, but especially, of course, Sammy Watkins, who can have such a dramatic impact. And there's so much discussion about his NFL readiness. And I think in the case of Swinney, you're going to get that perspective. I've heard him in other interviews, haven't had the pleasure of talking with him before, but I think it's going to be nice to, hopefully when we get him aboard, to hear what he has to say about that. But, you know, I think the interesting approach, because we're talking about the draft now, is how all teams, but specifically the Browns, will look at when you make a decision on player X in free agency, what the corresponding decision might be in the draft. And it isn't as cut and dried as saying, we got this guy in free agency at this position of need. Now we don't need to deal with it in the draft. They are not mutually exclusive. They work hand in hand. They are in parallel worlds. And it's a challenge, of course, too, for a GM to navigate this, especially a first-time GM like Ray Farmer. I mean, these will be one of the things you'll be looking at, because they're going to do all this in concert with trying to, you know, build that team chemistry thing. And you really don't know what that's going to look like until everybody's together, until they've been practicing, until they've been, through a camp together, and actually, honestly, until you're playing games before you can get into the discussion of, okay, what's our identity? What does it look like? But I think you can, at least on the profile of who you're looking at, how much your research has told you about particular players, both in free agency and the draft, you have an idea of what you hope you're getting and putting it together with those other pieces, existing and new, to see how they all blend.
Right, and it is. I'm glad you said concert, because it's kind of a dance. It's a dance between bringing guys in who can help you now, but also guys who can help you for the long term, putting together the contingency plan for those short-term assets so that you can transition them into a homegrown long-term asset via the draft. And I think you're going to see a lot of pairing up. Perhaps we're going to see guys free agents sign at one position and also a draft pick at the same position so that you can have that natural transition take place as this team evolves. And not only that, give the competition you need to know that you're constantly getting the best team on the field. People are at their best when nobody feels complacent, nobody feels comfortable. And I think you're going to see a Cleveland Browns team that's going to try to build, foster, and thrive on that competition across this roster from position 1 to position 53 to make this as good, competitive, tough, hungry team as you possibly can get. And I think there's one thing people need to realize. Typically, and certainly in the past, we would not have seen any kind of elder free agents brought in here. And I think we might see a couple this year, which would surprise some people. But really, when you look at a team that is so young and has no culture of winning, wouldn't surprise me to see some guys come in from winning places and help kind of impart that winning culture on this young team.
Give me a sense. I know exactly what you're talking about, but give me a sense of why you can see that happening now versus, say, whenever before.
Well, I think one is a slight philosophical difference in that this isn't no longer Joe Banner's roster. This is now Ray Farmer's roster. And also the fact that it is a young team, and it's a team that needs to get into that winning mode quickly. And I think when you look at the salaries that are coming out for these younger players right now, one of the senses that I've got from talking to some people from around the league is that the value of these older guys, when I'm saying older, I'm talking 29 to 31, who can still play, is not going to be nearly as high as those players want it to be. So that might actually be a way to, in a sense, cheat the system that is being established right now. We know the wide receiver market is going to be depressed because there are so many great receivers in this draft. It's about looking at the relative value in the market and seeing where you can extract some value out of that market. Ultimately, the market is set at what one team is willing to pay for one player. That's the bottom line. But if you can find and extract some value out of there, I think you're going to see that now with this Browns team because they do need some people, especially with the DeQuell Jackson moving on. If they can find a guy similar age, similar experience from a culture of winning who can also play for this team for a couple of years, that's not a bad thing.
Okay, I'm with you. I mean, I think that is going to be the case, and I think – length of deals is going to be another part of this discussion, right? Because,
yes,
as you said,
are two-year guys.
Exactly. Go for those. You can go for those more established players, but more on a rental basis. And you're seeing more and more in this league one-year, two-year deals being signed. I mean, players, and I think that's, you know, that could be, to use the name because it's been brought up in the media. Not that I necessarily connect the dots beyond the fact that he's a Cleveland guy, but you hear a name like Dante Whitner, and that could be a classic rental opportunity if, in fact, you see the safety position along those lines. The discussion we just had with Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal was along the lines of, hey, Jarris Bird gives you that star attraction. We are very pleased to be joined right now by Dabo Swinney. He is the head coach of the Clemson Tigers. Coach, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you guys.
Want to start with a guy that I know has a lot of Browns fans excited, just either mentioning his name or putting his picture out there on our website, clevelandbrowns.com. Coach, is wide receiver, of course, Sammy Watkins. Can you give us a sense from your perspective of what would make him an NFL-ready guy, because we've seen so, and I mean right away, as opposed to a lot of receivers who get into this league and have to go through that little bit of that transition period?
Well, you know, same thing that made him a great player right out of the gate here at Clemson. You know, just same thing at this level, just like it is at that level. You get certain guys, and maybe everything's in the box, but you got to assemble it and put it all together, and, you know, eventually you have what you want. But with Sammy, from the day he got here, it was just, you know, no assembly required. I mean, just get him out and let him go. And that's because of his focus, his attention to details. He has a very high football IQ. A lot of people, and he really doesn't get the credit for that. A lot of people just see his explosiveness, and he makes big plays, and he's, you know, all this stuff. But he is a very, very intelligent football player. We moved him, and so because of that, it allowed us to move him all over the place. We did a little bit of everything with Sammy, and you know, you can't do that if you don't have a guy who has a great understanding. So very, very smart physically. When he got here, he was about 205, so he was physically ready. Same thing, you know, as he transitions to the NFL, he's physically ready. He is a big 210 plus pound guy that and then just his skill set. I mean, his skill set is rare. And then his work ethic. You know, he's handled himself like a pro since the day he got here. He's just very unique in that regard. And, you know, a lot of it is just his personality. I've been doing this since 1988. I've been in college football. I've seen a lot of great players. I've played with some great ones, coached a bunch of great ones. And he is by far the most low-maintenance superstar I have ever played with or coached. I mean, he just literally is easy. You know, the recruiting process for him was, you know, I remember getting ready to give him my big Clemson talk on why you need to come to Clemson, and he literally just cut me off after about 2 minutes and just said, Coach, I'm coming here. I like it here. This is where I need to be. And it was over. You know, I mean, and that's the way he's been his entire career, a very serious guy, great personality in the locker room. But nobody works harder. And the great ones that I have been around, they all have this work ethic that is special, that goes along with the talent. And that is what Sammy Watkins has. And, you know, his ability to escape and run away from people and finish plays with his hands are going to make him an immediate impact wherever he goes.
When you talk about a guy like Sammy Watkins, you've kind of become a wide receiver factory down there. DeAndre Hopkins going to Houston last year in the first round. Sammy Watkins is there. Talk also about Martavis Bryant, who kind of opened some eyes at the combine. Great combination of size and speed. How do you project his game at the next level?
Well, he's a little different from Sammy in that he's still, you know, he's still really developing into what his potential is. I think Sammy really fulfilled his potential at this level, and you know, Martavis was kind of late blooming, and but it was different. They came in together, but Martavis wasn't very serious about ball at the time. You know, his work ethic wasn't the same. His attention to details wasn't the same. You know, all those things. But it's been fun to watch Martavis mature and grow and develop. And like I said, you get different types of guys. Some guys are ready right away, get it. Some guys have to develop, and that's what Martavis has done. Now, his pure talent, his pure skill, he's right there with Sammy or anybody I've ever coached. But it's all the other things coming together is what has been fun to watch with him. He had a great year for us. I really wish we'd had him another year, but somebody's going to get a first round talent in a you know later round, and you know he has got it all in front of him. I think he's gotten very focused and serious about being a great football player, and he's you know he's 6'4" plus and can fly, and he's got great strength, and he's a tough kid. So I'm excited about his opportunity. He's a guy that's probably going to be a boundary receiver at the next level. But he loves to play, you know, he's matured and ready for his opportunity.
Dabo Swinney, head coach of the Clemson Tigers, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coach, with Sammy Watkins, the stat that shows nearly, 60% or so of his catches were on screen passes that he obviously turned into big plays with his great run-after-catch ability. Can you just give a sense, and you know, you played this position of wide receiver, you've coached this position before you became a head coach, you know all the insights and inside the details of this. What can a guy like that do to sort of prove, because in the NFL, obviously it's going to have to be more than that to be able to get open and get off the line and those sorts of things.
Yeah, well, I'll just be honest with you. I think life's going to be simpler for Sammy at the next level just because – you know, you got the 5-yard bump rule up there. You know, they can't touch you after 5 yards. And whereas in college, you know, they can put their hands on you anywhere, all the way down the field. And I think that's just going to further enhance his explosiveness. This guy, you know, and yeah, he catches a lot of screens, but that's because nobody wanted to walk up and press him because he runs by them. And if you look at our bowl game, he had 16 catches, but we threw it over the top of Ohio State twice to Sammy for 2 touchdowns down the field. Big plays, huge, just ran right by him. And so the rest of the game, guess what? They just played off. So, I'm from Alabama. I'm not the smartest guy, but, you know, if a guy's going to play, I'm just going to throw it out there to him, and he's going to get 8, 9, 10, and that's what happens. When you have a guy, he changes the game in every regard. You have to have answers, and when you can put other people around him, you have a problem. And so you know, we're fortunate here because we had a great quarterback in Taj Boyd who can spin it with the best of them. And it's one of the main reasons that Sammy has had the career that he's had. But he's gonna hit the ground running day one in the NFL wherever he goes. I don't care who's in the secondary. This guy is special. He's explosive. He's powerful. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He has got a great ability to finish plays. He high points the ball well, and he likes to run with it. You know, so when he gets it, it's not like he's just looking to get down. He likes to run with the ball, and he's an excellent route runner. So I just think he's the whole package when it comes to a wide receiver. And I've made my living coaching wideouts forever, but I've never had one like this guy. You know, Nuke Hopkins came out of here last year and was a first rounder and made the all rookie team, had a great year with the Texans. Totally different guy. What makes Nuke special is his bulldog competitiveness and his ball skills. But Sammy has got those same attributes, but he is so explosive. And if he gets a step, he's gone. And he did that consistently his whole career. And I think there's only been 3 freshmen in the history of college football that made first team All-American, not freshman All-American, but first team All-American, and it's Sammy Watkins, Adrian Peterson, and I believe it was Herschel Walker. So
pretty good company.
Yeah, pretty good company, and something that's hard to do. So I'm excited about his opportunity, and you know, I've told kind of all those GM guys the same thing. You know, don't be the guy that doesn't take Sammy Watkins. Don't be that guy. I've seen that 30 for 30 on Michael Jordan a bunch.
Yep.
Don't be that guy, because this cat right here, there's no red flags with him. I mean, he is a special person. And again, there's high maintenance, a little bit of maintenance, low maintenance, and no maintenance, and he is just no. You don't even know he's there, other than he's just making plays all over the field. But he's easy to coach. You can coach him hard, and has a really engaging personality once you get to know him.
Well, Coach, obviously you love him. Browns fans are very excited about it, and Browns fans also are very excited about another receiver here, Josh Gordon. So put your coaching hat on, which you always do have on. How difficult would it be to stop an offense that had Josh Gordon and Sammy Watkins?
It'd be real difficult if you got a good trigger man. You know, it all starts there. You got to have a guy that can process it and can deliver the ball on time and in critical situations, and you got to have guys up front. And that's been the key for us. I mean, we've won more games in the last 3 years than at any time in the history of Clemson. And it's no big shocker. I'm not some great coach, that's for sure. This coaching thing's way overrated. It's about having great players. And Taj Boyd, our quarterback, has won more games than anybody in the history of this school. And he's had a guy like Sammy Watkins and Nuke Hopkins and Andre Ellington, who led the NFL in yards per carry this year as a rookie for the Cardinals. That's the guys we've had in place. And when you can put those type of pieces together, you have a chance to be special. And it's no different at this level. It's no different at the NFL level. But you got to have a great quarterback. Them wideouts aren't very good unless you got a guy that can get it to them. And you got to have the right type of guys up front, and certainly the complementary pieces.
What about Taj Boyd? I had a chance to visit with him at the Senior Bowl. Very impressive kid.
Yep.
Give us a breakdown of some of the things you think he can bring to the NFL.
Well, he's a franchise guy. I mean, the guy is, you know, he changed Clemson. He's a gutsy guy, first of all. When I recruited him, I had just gotten this job 5 years ago. I'd had the job about 3 weeks, and I remember going to Virginia and sitting in his house, and, you know, Jim Tressel and Mike Bellotti, and here I am. I have no resume. And so it took a lot of guts on his part to believe in the plan and the vision that I had here at Clemson. And I needed a quarterback. And the message was, listen, we'll change Clemson. And that's what that kid has done. And that's who he is. If you really study Taj Boyd, this guy was top five quarterback in the country out of high school. He lost two games his entire high school career. He was the MVP of the U.S. Army All-Star Game. He came to Clemson. He won more games than anybody in the history of the school here. He's got every record in the book, just about in the ACC as well. He's a winner. He's bigger than people think. I would say he's a bigger Russell Wilson. And I say that in that I think he's got a better arm than Russell Wilson. But I think they're similar type of people, similar intangibles, things that make them special, similar belief in their abilities, and then also they make everybody else around them better, and that's what the great ones do. And you know, Taj loves it. He's a gym rat. I mean, he loves ball. He loves to meet people. He's got a very engaging personality. He has embraced his role as the starting quarterback here at Clemson University and has embraced it well, and understands the criticism and the highs and the lows. But he has done things here that have never been done. And we've had a lot of great players that have rolled through here. But Taj Boyd has left his mark, and I don't have any doubt. And, you know, everybody, this is the type of year the time of year where people are critical and they're this or that. And all I can tell you is whoever gets Taj Boyd, he's going to change their program just like he changed ours. He's that kind of impactful person. He's so much more than just a really, really good quarterback. And his skill set is outstanding. He can flat out throw the football every which way, any throw, and he's still a developing guy. So I'm excited about him, and wherever he goes, whoever gets him, they're gonna love Taj Boyd.
I agree with you. I think he's being a little bit overlooked right now as
no
it heads
question.
Into this draft process, because if you can refine some of the mechanical things that he does, skill-wise, I think you pointed out he's got that. And off the field, the intangibles, and I know Vic was very impressed when he talked to him down at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
You know, Sammy Watkins and Brian and Nuke Hopkins didn't put up those numbers by accident. There was a very good quarterback throwing them the ball. Do you think, you know, with the Browns, it is possible that if the Browns were to take Sammy Watkins at four, they may wait on a quarterback in the middle rounds? And obviously you think Taj Boyd, one of the great values to be had in this year's draft.
There's no question. I mean, listen, Russell Wilson was a third rounder.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a Super Bowl champ. And a lot of people said he couldn't do this, couldn't do that, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Tom Brady was a sixth rounder. Taj Boyd, where, because I don't think somebody's going to take him in the first round. Although I think he's as good as anybody out there. I mean he's my guy. He's first team All American last year over Johnny Manziel. All those guys voted by the coaches. This guy can flat out play, and he is a pro, and he handles himself that way. Mature beyond his years. And going to make everybody better around him. The locker room is going to respond to him. The community will respond to him. The coaches will. I mean, it's just going to be fun to watch him. And so, yeah, there's no question. If he's in that second, third, fourth round, he is a huge, huge value to wherever he goes. And it's not going to take him long. He's not going to be a guy that's going to sit around as a backup for a long time. He's too much of a worker, too competitive, and too talented.
Coach, it was an absolute pleasure to
Phenomenal.
Speak with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to be with you guys.
Appreciate your time. Dave O'Sweeney, head coach
All
of
right.
the Clemson.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Clemson Tigers head coach joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Upcoming, we have a conversation at the bottom of the hour with Mike Tannenbaum, former general manager of the New York Jets. In the meantime, want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. And tweet us at Browns_Daily. We got Megan Rock tweeting for the show today. Going to put together Browns Daily Wrap, which will be on the website, clevelandbrowns.com, later today, along with lots of other great content. Stick around
and
for
we'll
more.
We'll have Eric Branch coming up, who was the first person to report that the Browns were interested in Dante Whitner. That'll be coming up right after this.